Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join Larry now for this week's lesson.
In all seriousness, I don't know about you, but when you watch the news on a daily basis, you sort of get desensitized. You see just the sheer numbers of the illegal immigrants coming across our borders to the south, and many of them being children, and then the mothers sometimes with them, sometimes not. And what do you do? What do you do? And they're being housed every place, just a few miles from here, and maybe someday here. And the Mideast conflict, and the shelling that takes place in the Gaza, and then in Israel, and everybody's unhappy, and the blood in the streets, and what do you do? What do you do? And the Ebola deaths in West Africa, in the hundreds, those poor black people. What do you do? And it's getting more problematic. What do you do? What do you do? And then you drive down our own streets here in Wichita Falls, and you stop at an intersection, and you look at an old boy right in the eye, and he has that sign that's well folded, and he, you know, you can tell he just pulls it out when he needs it, and it's sort of standard, and he scrolled across it, "We'll work for food." And that's just kind of all he does, is hold up that sign. And then at the end of the day, he folds it up and puts it back in his old worn out coat and sleeps somewhere, and then he pulls it out again when he needs it. "We'll work for food." What do you do? What do you do? You just kind of build up a shell around the heart, and it's so easy to become cynical and hard. You try not to, but it's just easy. Now, on the other hand, the Bible teaches compassion. Compassion. Now, I like the way the English Standard Version puts it. It uses the term "a tender heart" over in 1 Peter 3, verse 8. A tender heart. Now, compassion is the way that the Bible says is the way God has dealt with us. It's a reflection of how God has dealt with us. Thankfully, God has dealt with us compassionately, always, without exception. Aren't we glad? In fact, compassion is a vital component of Christian character because of that. In Colossians 3, verse 12, by the way, I would have had this on the screen, but Joanne has been on vacation too. Now, when I'm on vacation, nobody misses me. Thank you, Jeannie. One person out of all this crowd. But I tell you, we appreciate Joanne. She does such a good job. And Alice Joy. We just, in all seriousness, we just couldn't do without our secretaries. And this week, I'm just doing, without any kind of visuals because she was on vacation this week. So you'll just have to do it the old-fashioned way. If you want to remember something, you'll just have to write it down or make a note because it won't be on the screen. Elmer did his best, but he's no Joanne. So we're going to do without it this week. But in Colossians 3, verse 12, Paul said, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." But notice, compassion heads the list. And really, you can't divorce any of those words that Paul wrote there. Now, I just want to write down or list this morning to whom Scripture says we are to show compassion. And by the way, it is action. It's not just an attitude. Now, it begins with attitude, of course. But results always in action. It's a basic Christian teaching. It's not just your eyes welling up with tears. It's not just warm feelings you have in your heart. It starts there, yes, but it always results in action. I think about 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, and that word suggests doing something, how can the love of God be in him, John asks. So I want to just kind of run down the list of examples of compassionate behavior specifically mentioned in Scripture. And I'm not suggesting this is a complete list, and I don't think the Scripture means for it to be a complete list. But it does mention these. Number one, we are to show compassion to the oppressed and the needy. And of course, the best example, I guess, would be Luke 10. Beginning in verse 25. And you know the story well. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" One of the most basic questions we all have, isn't it? "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus replied, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Well, who is my neighbor?" And in reply, Jesus told this story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And you know the story. A priest happened by, a Levite happened by, both of them religious leaders. But then verse 33, a Samaritan, a lowly Samaritan, the least likely, passed by. He took pity on him. Verse 34, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins, gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said. "And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Then Jesus asked the man, "Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." We are to have compassion on any person who is oppressed and needy. The law is not merely theoretical. It's not something to be discussed or analyzed. It's to be done. Secondly, we are to show compassion to the bereaved. Notice what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Have we ever received comfort from God? What's the purpose of our receiving comfort from God? Have we ever tasted the sweet hug, the sweet comfort from another person? If we have, we are to turn around and show that comfort to other people. Romans 12, 9 through 15. Love must be sincere. Share with God's people who are in need. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Someone says, "I don't go to funerals." Well, grow up, get over that. You go to funerals. You go to the side of someone who suffered loss. You go. We are to suffer with those who suffer. It's part of being compassionate. It's part of being Christian. Number three, we are to show compassion to children. To children. And you know what the great example is in the Bible of someone who is compassionate to a child? Sort of like the Samaritan. It's an example of a heathen woman. It's in Exodus 2, 5 and 6. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. And her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. This is one of the most basic instincts that a human being has, is compassion for children. You know, I don't understand all of the political shenanigans going on with the current immigration fiasco in our nation right now. I have a feeling there are some shenanigans going on. But I know there are real people who are victims of the immigration fiasco. As always, there are innocent people who are victims. I know there are children who are victims of the current turmoil. And we mustn't just see those people as just problems. We mustn't ever just see people as problems. We must see them as people. I want to remind you that God's people, were problems to Egypt. God's people were problems to Rome. And they are pictured throughout the Bible, God's people, as nomads and pilgrims and people without a home, whose citizenship is only in heaven. So we ought to identify ourselves in a certain way with people without a home. We need to have compassion with people who are victims. So here is a woman who had compassion for a child of another nationality. A most basic compassion. And folks, it changed history, did it not? What if she did not have compassion on that child? Moses. And besides all of that, let us never forget the words of Jesus. In everything, Jesus said, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Number four, we are to show compassion to prisoners. Hebrews 13:3. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. So here the Bible talks about not only expressing sympathy, but what? Empathy. Not just sympathy. Empathy, as if you were there. Can you put yourselves in their position? Well, that's what the Hebrews writer is talking about. Can you imagine yourself hearing those doors lock behind you? And of course, there's that scene in Matthew 25:31 and forward. Where the Lord comes and sits on His throne in heavenly glory. Separates people into two groups. The sheep from the goats. Using that metaphor. Those on His right. He says, come you who are blessed of my Father. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And again, that word visit, just like in James, where it talks about visiting widows and orphans. It's not just stopping by and saying hello. It's a word that means to look after, to see to the needs of. Because prisons in the first century did not see to the needs of the prisoners. It took those outside of prison to see to the needs of the prisoner. And so the Christian, again, when compassion is expressed, it's to see to the needs of people. Christians are to show compassion to prisoners. Then number five, the Bible example of showing compassion to forgiven sinners. In Galatians 6:1, the Apostle Paul wrote, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore such a one gently, but watch yourself, for you also may be tempted. Never think you are above sin yourself. Whatever that sin may be, there is always the room for humility. And that means compassion as you deal with someone in sin. And then in 2 Corinthians, if you'll remember in 1 Corinthians, Paul gave instruction for church discipline in 1 Corinthians 5. There was a brother in Christ who was caught up in a very grievous sin to the point that Paul gave instructions for discipline. That meant excommunicating that brother. Withdrawing fellowship from that Christian brother because you could not allow him to continue in the fellowship of the body of Christ. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Paul goes on to report what happened to that person. Apparently he repented. And we read the following in chapter 2. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient for him, Paul wrote. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him, so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. So when a person repents, you are to shower him with love. You are to be compassionate for the forgiven sinner. Number 6. Another Bible example of compassion. We are to show compassion to the sick. Now, we don't find it difficult to do that. But in Job chapter 2, 11 through 13, we find a good example of showing compassion to the sick. And it is an example of the three friends of Job. We all know of Job's difficulties. And of course, we also are familiar with Job's friends as they do wrong, as they give him bad advice. But that comes later. In the early stages, they do it exactly right. We read this in Job 2, beginning in verse 11. When Job's three friends heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. And they began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Of course, the custom of that time. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. In other words, they just went and was with him. They just sat there in silence and just let him know they were there. Sometimes that's all you can do is just be present. Now, had they just stopped there and not offered him any further advice, that would have been great. The trouble was they started explaining why he was going through all of his difficulties. And that's when you start stepping over the line. But at this point, they did it exactly right. We are to show compassion to the sick. But then finally, my last example in the scripture to whom we are to show compassion, to widows and orphans. And I alluded to this earlier, James 1:27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. We're to show compassion to those in our world who are less fortunate than ourselves, especially to those who are without husbands and without orphans or without fathers and mothers. Keep in mind now, these were folks in the first century who did not have any kind of a safety net in the society, no social security, no insurance. But even in our society today, there's more involved than money. There is emotional support. There is spiritual support that so many people need that we can offer. Well, we are to be compassionate people. You know what the problem is, though, with a lesson like this? Oh, I guess it's a good lesson. I guess, of course, sort of sews up all the loose ends, doesn't it? You got it, don't you? You get it? Any questions? I got you told, didn't I? Well, you can't be commanded to be compassionate. You can't be told to have a tender heart. That's trouble with a lesson like this. You can only be taught that there's a need. You're free to walk away from here just like you came in. That's the trouble with a lesson like this. And you probably will. I know that. I've been preaching long enough to know that. I'm about to wind this thing up after 40 some odd years. So I know pretty much what you're going to do. It's up to you. It's up to me to open our lives up to opportunities to change. It's up to us to have our hearts massaged if they're hard and crusty. If we become so cynical and so skeptical by watching Fox News and CNN and NBC and all the rest of them, listening to talk radio, listening more to Rush than reading the Bible. If we think things are hopeless and we're sort of angry and frustrated and feel kind of overwhelmed by things, which we can easily get if we watch our world in a little box about that size. Or maybe you have a 52-incher. Maybe your world is 52 inches. Big deal. Still a pretty small world, isn't it? The answer is a little Holy Spirit action, isn't it? We need to start seeing people as individuals. We need to start knowing their names. Look them in the eye. Whether it's at the Sunshine House or wherever it is in some form of ministry. We don't need to see those little South Americans coming across the borders as just little Latinos or whatever we want to call them. And shake our fist and say, well, why don't they send them home? Oh, little stinky things bringing in disease. Somehow, we need to start seeing them as people who God made. And regardless how they got here, maybe think in terms of what does God have in mind with this diaspora. It's almost as big as the Jewish diaspora back in the first century. I don't know the answer to it. And like I say, I smell a skunk politically, but that's far above my pay grade. All I know is it involves people who are victims. And we need to start seeing people. And we need to be involved in some sort of ministry to people. and use the gifts that God has gifted us. This world is filled with need. Our city is filled with need for a soft heart. It's an amazing thing that a young doctor, and he's pretty characteristic of a lot of his generation, who could make a lot of money as a young doctor in this society, left Fort Worth, Texas, and went to West Africa to work with those poor black people in West Africa. And contracted Ebola. Has just come back, thankfully. His wife's a nurse. And he says with no regrets, no regrets, graduate of Abilene Christian. When he was in Fort Worth, he attended the Southside Church of Christ. That impressed me right there. The Southside Church of Christ was once a thriving, rich church. Had some big name preachers in our brotherhood. Big majestic building, red brick, colonial style building, big pillars in the front. Now it's a shadow of its former self in a changing poor neighborhood, surrounded by churches out in the suburbs that get all the press, have all the razzle-dazzle, but not Southside. But Southside, rather than moving to an outer suburb and grow, they decided to stay and minister to their neighborhood. And Kent Bradley and his wife Amber, that's where they decided to worship too. So that tells me a lot about them as a couple and that church. They decided to stay and minister to their neighborhood. Powerful examples of Christian compassion. First shown to us in Christ, then to be shown by us in the name of Christ. I want to ask you this morning, do you have it in you? We better if we wear Christ's name. We better.